The following podcast discusses subject matter not appropriate for children. Please use discretion when listening. This podcast and all linked or referred to materials should not be construed as medical or psychological advice, nor are our opinions a substitute for professional, medical, or psychological expertise or treatment. Listening and or responding to this podcast does not indicate that a professional or therapeutic relationship has been established.
Hello, and welcome back to Vanilla with a Side of Kink. My name is Dan. I'm here with my wife, Renee.
Hello.
And, oh my gosh, so many things are happening now. April of 2019.
2019, April.
Yeah, so it's been a fun 2019 so far. And
well, January was really boring.
January's boring. Okay, fine. February, March, and April had lots of exciting things happen. If you haven't heard about them, go back and listen. But we're still going to be in April for a little bit because, you know, as we were telling you, Renee met this guy, Rick, and hit it off, and then
I met him in March.
Things, and I said it was okay for her to explore having some level of relationship with him, and yeah, we'll get to that. But we're going to go back to April because there were some other things that happened in April that we really need to
April, was a pivotal month.
It was a pivotal month.
We'll recap all the ways it pivoted.
A month
finished April.
A month that will remain in infinity. No, that's the wrong statement.
No, not quite that.
A month that will be, yes, it did a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. So I know one of the things that happened that was just kind of fun was we had some friends from out of town who I had known throughout my business career in education, and they had flown in from Kansas City.
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Someplace far away
in the Midwest. And they are a lovely couple who I absolutely love and adore. And they still message me talking about how things are in the education world. They'll text me every once in a while, and I love getting those text messages. But
And it was nice too because they knew about All Tied Up.
They
were non-judgmental. They were very supportive people.
Yep. And
that might have been a first in your world, that there were people in your world that you knew from Vanilla World that you could talk with about Kinky World.
Right. And the funny thing with this couple is I remember we were in Atlanta for a conference and we were out to dinner. And he had gone to an event with another woman. And I thought they might have been poly. And I kind of like hinted around at it and they weren't biting. And then I said, so are you guys polyamorous? And they just kind of looked at, what's that? And I went, oh, crap. And they go, what do you mean? And I kind of explained it to them. And they go, oh, no. They're just friends. And I'm like, okay, well, they go, wow, I can see how that might appear.
Yeah.
And then they go, and then I started telling them about All Tied Up and everything else. And they were all like, wow, that's fascinating. And they did the typical, what most vanilla people do. They started making jokes about getting tied up and other things. But they were very gracious, and they listened, and they were kind and interested and not judgmental. And I love them both dearly, and I miss them.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really seen them since.
Maybe since 2019.
Maybe since 2019.
Because that and then COVID happened.
I've talked to them about in text messages, but not anything.
Yeah.
Not anything like I would normally. Because this is a guy that we would go and do conferences together. We would co-teach. We would co-present to a large room of people together. And his wife used the material we created in her classroom. And
nice.
That was part of the combination that made it really special.
Yeah, they were fun.
And they came out and we went to dinner and we got to hang out. They had to meet Renee. And it was just so cool to have that level of conversation there. And it was just kind of fun. It was just a break because they knew I'd closed the business. They knew I'd declared bankruptcy. And they were just supportive. They were like, you know, we don't know what we can do, but we're here. We love you. We're, you know. And so it was kind of a good thing for me to have them come out and say that. And
still be
supportive, still want to see me. And that was nice of them. And so that was right at the beginning of April. Then about a week later, we get a call from, I can't remember whether it was from the hospital or from the police department.
It's from the hospital. So It was like a week and a half later. It was a Saturday morning. We actually were, we had just loaded the car to go see my family.
Yep.
We would go see my family about four times a year. So this was our April visit. And we had just loaded the car. So at that point we had Skylar and Stanley. So we normally they would go with us to my family. So we must have just left them home because they were good dogs. They didn't like we couldn't leave the puppy home alone right now. But anyway, so we had just loaded the car and we got a phone call. And it was a nurse in a hospital in Palm Springs saying, "We have your dad here. Your dad is here." And so, like, okay, clearly we need to go take care of your dad. We didn't even know what had happened at that point.
Right.
We do know that he was admitted the night before. And the night before, he was so confused, he couldn't tell anyone what your name was. And so by the next morning, the nurse was, you know, trying again, like, you know, "Where's your phone? You know, who do you think I should call?" And by the next morning, your dad was like, "My son, Dan, look up Dan." And so the nurse called us and said he'd been admitted since last night and he'd apparently had a stroke.
Yeah. And so yeah, that kind of rearranged our, remember we talked about a couple episodes ago, dad having a stroke in November of 2018. And that was the first thing. Well, this one rewrote the book.
Now we're April. Yeah. This changed everything.
This one changed everything. So we drove out to Palm Springs and the police officer, female police officer, was who came and talked to us.
No.
What?
No, that didn't happen. So.
What do you mean that didn't happen?
We get out. No, we didn't talk. She didn't come and talk to us. We get out to Palm Springs. We go straight to the hospital. That's when the nurse told us what she knew, which was that he was brought in with police involvement the night before. We didn't know what had happened. We get there and our primary focus initially, other than how is his health, is where's his car? Where's his wallet? Where's his phone? And so the phone and the wallet were there and the nurse gave those to us. And in the wallet, the police officer, who was a genius, left her business card. And I think maybe wrote a note like, "Call me" or something. So because we knew the police must have his car because we didn't know what had happened yet. But we knew we knew he came into the hospital with some type of police involvement. So we called the police officer whose card was in the wallet and left her a voicemail because she wasn't there. But somewhere on the card, it must have said, like, "His car is here, like, go here to get his car," something like that. And so we drove, I guess, to the police department because we had to show power of attorney to be able to get the car out, which thankfully we had the power of attorney in place. So you could do that. And she called back as we were driving. And
I said, we talked to her. I remember talking to her.
She called back as we were driving. So we probably were talking to her through the speakers in the car.
That made more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a lot happening that day.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I got the details.
So she was telling us that they'd gotten a call about someone driving erratically and they pulled up behind my dad in his little black car, and he was driving like 5 miles an hour. They've got sirens blazing, lights behind him, trying to get him to pull over. But my dad is so confused, he can't.
He's literally having a stroke as he's driving.
Yeah, as he's driving. And he fortunately did not hit anybody, did not damage the car, didn't damage any property. He finally figured he better pull over. And of course, when he pulls over into this yard, wherever he pulled over, we don't know exactly where he pulled over, but the police were like, they think they've got a drug user or something. She says, "We went in really hot."
Yeah, that's what she said. We went in really hot.
And she said, and then we realized we were dealing with a medical issue.
Yeah.
And she was very kind. She was very, very gracious. you know, she was trying to protect the community and all the things that the police are there to do. But she, because she didn't know what she didn't know who my dad was. She didn't know what was going on with my dad.
And what was so genius about her? She didn't know you were in existence. She didn't know who his family was, but she knew somebody was probably going to come to the hospital looking for him and was probably going to ask for his wallet.
Yeah.
And that's where she put her card, which was genius.
Yeah. And so we got the story from her and, you know, she said that we got to call the ambulance and had them come over and take your dad to the hospital. And you know, we're just glad everybody was safe and nobody was hurt. I was like, he wouldn't pull over. And we talked to, when my dad finally came back to having enough awareness to be able to talk about what happened, he was like, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear. I couldn't see. I was all disoriented. And so hearing the different stories from the different perspectives was kind of interesting. Of course, this really changed my dad's life because now my dad had lost some vision.
Yeah, his stroke affected his vision centers.
Affected his vision, except it impacted his memory. Mm-hmm. In a way that it had not done quite the way it had previously.
Right.
But because it had impacted his vision so much, he lost his driver's license.
Right.
So here you go. A year ago, this man is traveling to Australia, flying around the world, and now he has lost his driver's license and can't go anywhere.
Well, and he was in Palm Springs to visit friends.
Yes.
And he was going to Palm Springs like 3 weekends a month to visit friends. You know, now that he was over the grief of your mom to enough of an extent to resume life, he's like, my friends are in Palm Springs. I'm heading out. And so at 3 weekends a month, he'd be gone to Palm Springs, if not 4 weekends a month. That's why he was there.
Yep. And now his life was going to be completely different.
Yeah.
So here he is. He has a... he's renting a house. It's about a mile and a half from where we live.
He's living in a house that was your office.
Right.
That you'd go to every day.
I would go to every day. Mm-hmm. but I didn't need to go there every day now because I didn't have the job I had before.
Right.
But now it was to take care of my dad. Now it was.
And to help his, to deal with his companies.
Right.
You had his to companies. Deal with what are we going to do here?
And he was in the hospital and in the nursing home. For a couple weeks after that.
Yeah, I don't remember the nurse. I remember him being in the hospital for several days. And I remember them doing things to him. Like they did something with his heart without getting your consent.
Right.
Because he gave consent, but he didn't want. Afterwards, he's like, why did they do this? Mm-hmm. Because you told them they could. He didn't want that done. So I remember him being in there for a few days, and I remember us having to work with the social worker there to get transportation back here.
Right.
Oh, right. So he did go directly to a nursing home.
Right.
Because we're like, we can't bring him home until we know what his level of functionability is. Yeah. So he went to a nursing home.
Went to a nursing home. He was there for a little
bit. Not happy about that.
No, he was not. And the funny thing is, so that was like April 13th when he had the stroke.
Mm-hmm. It was Saturday, yep.
And my notes tell me that by May 1st, his memory was back. He was bebopping around like nothing had happened.
Magical healing powers.
And it's like, you know, dude, this is... And I love my dad. I think the world of my dad. But my dad is definitely... He has his moments where he's got his own little world that he lives in. But ever since this event, April 13th of 2019... And when he lost his freedom, I mean, that's really what happened.
Yeah, not being able to drive was huge. I don't remember when or why exactly we made the decision to move him out of that house.
Well, we had to because he couldn't, like we needed.
Oh, because his jobs weren't producing money.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we had a whole lot of things changing.
Yeah.
Very quickly with him.
Pivotal.
And,
So when did we move him out?
We moved him out in August.
Okay.
August of 2019, we moved him out.
To the senior apartment.
The senior 55 and over apartment. He got a beautiful apartment, third floor, looking out. But he was right next to the shopping center, the Starbucks, Walmart. You know,
yeah, and by then, so that was 4 months later, we felt pretty stable. We felt comfortable saying that he was going to be pretty stable. He was walking. He was talking. Only thing he couldn't do, his eyesight was the only thing that was affected, and it was sporadic. But we moved him to this apartment complex because he could walk everywhere.
Right.
So he still have some independence just on his feet instead of in his car.
Right. His memory was back, but he just couldn't see. And that was the thing that was really hard.
Oh, no, because your son and daughter-in-law were living in the house.
Right.
So that's why else we had to kind of figure everything out, because the house was rented in your name and his name. You no longer were working your businesses. He no longer was working his business. Your kids weren't paying rent. So guess what?
Yeah. There were a lot of changes that happened.
We need to get rid of this house. Okay.
But so that happened in April. And there was just a lot of things that had to happen between then and August that made life very different than what we experienced. You know, losing my mom back in 2017, you know, he'd had a couple years of being able to do things. Mm-hmm. And now he was.
Yes, it's almost 2 years to the day.
Because mom died April 9th, 2017. And now it's April 13th. He has this. And it's 2 years of. And now we're trying to figure out all the pieces there. There was another thing that happened, though, in April. That was so when we got dad back into San Diego, we got him into a nursing home. He was, you know, there was nothing really we could do for him until he came home from the nursing home.
Right.
And we had a planned trip with the ATU community folks to go up to a cabin, rented a cabin up mm-hmm. in the mountains. And we were going to go up there and just have a weekend. And it was a lot of fun. We had the food was prepared by an executive chef.
Well, we all shared food making responsibilities.
Yeah, but someone was responsible.
But the one night that I volunteered to cook dinner, I roped in my friend who was an expert chef to help me.
Okay.
So she and I made everything.
And she was awesome. The food was amazing.
The house was amazing.
They're beams and we were able to put up suspension points and I have 4 or 5 pictures of Renee in different poses from that camp. It was a lot of fun. We had our own room. I mean, the cabin was big. So
like
all these
10 bedrooms.
And we had our own room in there. Yeah. And
with our own bathroom.
But getting to spend that time with that group of people was a lot of fun. And I still remember, I just remember one person came to an event just a couple weeks ago for us now, today, currently, showed up who was at that event. But I haven't seen him much since that event. And I remember at that event, he was just starting to work on suspensions. And I was working with him on uplines. And I remember that whole conversation with him.
Yeah.
And now here he is 5 years later. And he's like, I need to start all over again.
Yeah, because he hasn't been keeping up with it.
But nice guy. I really like the guy. And so it's just interesting how the wheel turns and changes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So. And of course, after that, you had the misadventure of...
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, all right. So when we went to Palm Springs, the nurse there in your dad's hospital room looked at me and said, oh my God, is your eye okay? Because my red eyeball, my mm-hmm. bright red spot was very, very noticeable. And by that point, I was getting used to that. Because anybody who looked at me would be like, oh my God, is your eye okay? So fast forward to April 25th. At some point in that night, like midnight, 1 a.m. on the 26th, I started feeling sick. There had been a stomach flu that had gone around you and your dad's house that obviously somehow got transmitted to me. So... oh my God. I remember I was violently ill for 3 days. I remember getting like, you know how you're like, oh, I'm going to be sick. Like you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm going to be sick. I remember waking up at like midnight, 1 in the morning, somewhere in there, obviously feeling sick. I went downstairs because I'm like, I don't think this is going to go away. I'm thinking this is going to be a thing. So I am downstairs on the couch, crawling to the bathroom when needed, which was frequent, and then crawling back to the couch. And the 26th was a Friday? 6 or 7, 20, yeah. Friday morning, the 26th, I wake up on the couch. It's like 9 a.m., and I'm like, where is Dan? So I went to bed with Dan on the 25th. Like, good night, honey. Bye. I love you. Went to bed. Middle of the night, I get up and go downstairs. And here it is, Friday at 9 a.m. And I'm like, where's Dan? Where's my husband? Hey, where are my dogs? Where's anybody? I'm like, has anyone noticed that I have vanished from the bed? I was so delirious. I thought I had died. Because I'm laying on the couch in the downstairs living room and I'm like, why has no one come to look for me? Why has Dan not come to look for me? Why have the dogs not come to look for me? And then the dogs come downstairs, Skylar and Stanley, and see me. And I'm like, okay, good. No, I'm not dead. And then I think, oh no, I could be dead because dogs can see dead people. People can't. I think I've died. I think I must have died. I was delirious. And so at 9 a.m., I get the wherewithal to text him. And I'm like, where are you? And you texted back something funny. Like, where are any of us? And I was like, no, no, no. Where are you? I'm not. This is not funny times. And you said, I'm upstairs. I said, can you come help me with something? And so you come downstairs and you're like, holy shit, because I looked like hell. And I'm like, I've been up since 1 a.m. I can't keep anything down, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh my God. I was like, I thought I was dead because no one came to find me.
Yes. For those of you that have ever ever wondered what a princess is like when they are sick, this is what's like when they're sick.
No, this is what I'm like when I'm normally sick. This wasn't sick. This was death warmed over. This was
you were definitely miserable. You were really sick.
At some point between 2 and 4 a.m., I sent an email to my team because I was a supervisor and I had a plan in place where if I was ever out sick, I had a team that would step up and do my job for me. So I pulled that trigger at like 3 a.m., sent that email to everybody like, I'm sick, take over. And that didn't even look at the emails again until I was better. I think I ended up taking a week off of work. So April 26th is where I'm texting, where are you? I'm wallowing on the couch. I'm trying to sleep. I'm filthy because I haven't had the strength to shower. Part of my delirium was I was like, I wonder if I could get one of my coworkers to come give me a bath because I was working in medical social work. And then I told my boss that story later and she's like, well, wouldn't Dan have helped you take a bath? I'm like, of course he would have. But in my delirium, I need a professional bath giver right now because I'm so filthy. So, oh my God, it was so bad. And then the night of the 26th, we had game night and I obviously did not go, but I was right. at least less critically ill that I was able to be left home alone. But I was sick. I mean, we have text messages of you checking on me the next day. And I'm like, it's 1:15. I just woke up. Like, I was so, so, so sick for 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. Then the 29th comes. It's a Monday. I have an appointment to go to the DMV to renew my driver's license because I was turning 50 that year. And when you turn 50, you have to go in person to renew your license so you can get a new photo. I had had this appointment booked for literally 2.5 months. And right. I had to go to the DMV 30 minutes out of town into a different county because that was the only appointment available.
Right. Getting appointments at the DMV is impossible here.
Well, especially this was before the Real ID thing. The Real ID was a California new thing they were doing. So I'm like, come hell or high water, I need to make it to the DMV on April 29th. Even if I'm throwing up while I'm driving up there, I cannot miss that appointment.
Yeah.
That was a rough day. I was good enough to drive myself. I'm not sure where you were. You probably were dealing with something with your dad, but I was good enough to drive myself. But I remember feeling so bad. And this is the DMV, y'all. So y'all know what that is. It's taking hours to fucking get my picture taken. That's it. That's all I had to do. No tests, nothing, but hours for that. So, I made it home and changed back into pajamas. I still wasn't working. I think I didn't go back to work until maybe Thursday of that week. So I think I've been out Thursday to the following Thursday. And the fascinating thing about this story is when the stomach flu was over, you know what else was over? Red eyeball. Red eyeball went away. After my stomach flu. I saw my ophthalmologist a couple weeks later, and it was hilarious because, as we've said, I had seen him many, many times. I was seeing him at least once a month, if not twice a month at that point, for this weird eye diagnosis I had received. So I see him a couple weeks later, and my eye's totally, the white parts of my eye are totally white. And he walks in the exam room and he looks at me and he's staring at my eyes. And I was like, it went away. He's like, how did it go away? I said, I had the stomach flu. I was violently ill for 3 days. And when it was over, my eye, the whites of my eye were white again, and it has not returned. And he's staring at my eyes, like turning his head from side to side, staring at me like, what has happened to her eyes? It was so funny. He was fascinated. And he just keeps staring. He does not take his eyes off of my eyes. And he says, okay, well, we knew this was an autoimmune disorder. And so it sounds like maybe you just turned over all your gut flora and just did all your gut flora just got turned over with the stomach flu. And now your eye is fine again. He was mystified. It was so funny. And to this day, 5 years later, red eyeball has not come back. So I went from having this bizarre autoimmune related eye disorder that everybody was commenting on, oh my God, what's wrong with your eye, to having the worst stomach flu I've ever had in my life, to having red eyeball cured. Isn't that crazy?
I believe the flu is actually the magical cure. Flu about my neck.
Yes, because you had the flu before that?
I think so. And my neck issue was very different after that.
Except that your neck issue has now returned.
Yes, but different than it was then.
Yes.
But still.
Yeah, it was a magical stomach flu.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was the worst. So yeah, so that was April. April.
April was full of stuff, that's for sure. And, you know, as we look back at it today, it was definitely a pivotal month. There was a lot of things that were happening. And getting our lives changed like that with dad and with the flu and your eyeball changing and our health changing
and your job situation changing, dad's living arrangement, your living arrangement, your work office arrangement, everything.
Yeah. I actually finished my first class the end of April in college and of course got straight A's, but
yes, you did.
And so it was, you know, a very fulfilling month in its own way, to go through and have those things happen. And then now figure out a new plan because there were several things that were now changing. Didn't know how much things were going to change, but things were about to change a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about the major categories of our lives. Health was changing. Work was changing. Taking care of family was changing. Finances were changing. All Tied Up was continuing, and we were starting to talk about revamping that curriculum. So adding to it and making changes there.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Oh, the other good part of the story is that my driver's license picture is really good.
Yes, it is. You have a very good driver's license
so
picture.
So being death warmed over and having to be at the DMV for hours produced a really good picture.
Yeah, she likes to say she does not take a good picture.
I completely disagree.
Because
you're blind, delusional, and crazy. I do not take good pictures. I'm so not photogenic.
She's beautiful. I love taking pictures of her.
Okay, well, you're crazy.
Yes, well, that's
you're crazy pants.
That's my decision to be. My decision.
Your decision to be crazy.
It's my decision to be crazy. Oh, so, wow. Yeah. We got so many things happening even today that are still affected by those things back from April that it's because dad's still here.
Dad is still with us.
And he's definitely, I would say he's deteriorated from there, but he's still very alert.
Still has magical healing powers.
Yep, still has magical healing powers. And just, you know, trying to make plans from here on out. And everybody knows the pandemic's coming next year, like 2020, we have the pandemic coming up. But it's this 2019 was still a very pivotal year for a lot of things that happened and gave us some direction in life. So going back to school and oof.
Yeah. And so next month in May 2019, we'll talk about the continuing relationship story with Rick. We'll talk about me turning 50.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. So more to come.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We're going to end this episode there, and we will look forward to having you visit us next time in May of 2019. And we'll go from there. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Everyone, take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.